Franz and Christ, as the children are getting their colouring sheets, let's pray as we prepare to meditate and reflect on God's word. Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul says that everything is worthless compared to knowing you. And I pray that today you would guide my words and the thoughts of our hearts, and that we would receive from you the good gifts that you have for us in your word. Let your Holy Spirit come to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I don't know how this is going to go. I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm actually going to draw my visuals for the sermon on the whiteboard, which is going to probably be a bit distracting, but let's see how that goes. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about what is of ultimate worth. What is the most worthwhile thing in the universe? So I'm going to put that word up there, or the title. And it's pretty clear what Paul decides that the most worthwhile thing in the universe actually is. But in order to get there, Paul talks about this word righteousness, which is kind of a Christian jargon word, and I want to unpack it a bit. Righteousness is one of those words. No, I know what I know kind of how I'm planning this out. Righteousness, it's a big word, it's a Christian word. If we don't go to church very much, or if we don't read our Bible, we might not really know what that word means. Even those of us who are Christians might go, well, I kind of know what it means, but what really is it about? Well, I'd like to put it really simply this way, by taking the middle letters out. Okay? Righteousness is about rightness. It's about a sense of things being right, first of all, in our relationship with God, but also in terms of the universe and our relationships with people around us. And I think that it's probably not you don't have to dig very deep into human experience, including our own experience, to know that at a fundamental level, there seems to be a lack of rightness in the world. Sometimes we experience that as kind of a lack of rightness about ourselves. There's something wrong with me. Sometimes we experience it when we hear of things like happened in Las Vegas this week, or when we hear of the ongoing civil war in South Sudan, or other horrible events like that. Something is not right about that when that happens. So people have tried to deal with that intrinsic sense of something being wrong, either with myself or with the universe, in a whole lot of different ways. And Paul talks about some of the ways that he has tried in the past to work from something wrong with me and something wrong with the world to everything is all right. That's what he means, or that's part of what he means when he talks about righteousness. And the way that most of us in the world and most religions try to deal with this problem is like this. We try to draw the arrow of what can we do to make things right. What can we do to make things right with God and right with the world around us? And if you listen to what Paul has done in the past as he works on that, he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, followed the Jewish religious law. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a member of the tribe of Benjamin and a pure-blooded Israelite. So Paul talked about his identity as something that he tried to use to make himself right and right with God. He says, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. So Paul talks about his actions, trying to right this intrinsic sense of wrong. And he says, as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I did everything right, Paul says. Now, almost, I believe, every religion in the world has this directional arrow. Whether it's about karma and trying to atone for maybe what went wrong in past lives, or whether it's about trying to do good deeds so that if one day we come face to face with God, we'll be able to go, hey, I was a good person, or whether it's about the pillars of Islam, you know, the fivefold things that you have to do to be fully practicing Muslim. I was a good person. I hear that a lot as a pastor. Religion is all about this arrow going from us to God to try to make things right, to try and deal with that intrinsic sense that something is wrong in our relationship with God and with the world around us. And you know what? I could follow through what Paul has said. I am a Lutheran of Lutheran parents. I grew up in the largest Lutheran congregation in Australia. I was baptized when I was a month old, and I did my confirmation, and I was a youth leader, and I did all this other stuff, right? And if I wanted to follow through on that, I'm a pastor, you know, surely that gives me some good kudos points with God and helps me, as the wonderful song from, is it the 70s, says, buying a stairway to heaven, right? If anyone could say, hey, God, look at me, then I reckon I'd be kind of up there with Paul, right? Not bragging, just saying. But Paul goes, you know what? All this stuff, it doesn't work. None of this works because where is the focus in all of these things? Us, me, who said that? Silv. Where is the focus? It's on me. It's on the things that I do. It's who I am. It's what I have done for God. And I'll never be able to make it right. I can never right the universe. But what Paul says is that something much different and much more profound happens. And Paul says that in Jesus, this, God comes to us to make us right. And then through us, he works in a continuing way to make the world and our relationships and the universe right. God turns the arrow upside down. Paul says, I once thought these things were valuable, all my religious stuff, all the stuff I do for God. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he says, I no longer count on my own righteousness. I don't count on all this stuff, but I become righteous or right with God through faith in Christ. In other words, through receiving the gift that God gives us through Jesus. And the word that Paul uses is skubala. It's the Greek word for dog dung. And Paul is saying, you know, all this stuff that I once relied on, tried to make the world right, tried to make me right with God, it's crap, basically. It's dung. It's not worth a thing. It's something that we would rightly throw out. God's rightness with himself and his way of working rightness in the universe is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy the stairway to heaven because it is given to you free of charge through what Christ has done. That's where rightness comes from. That's where righteousness is found, is in Jesus and in God coming down to us and turning the arrow up the other way, which is really incredible. Now, I want to look at this ultimate worth. When you know that your ultimate worth is found in what God has done for you through Jesus, when you believe and trust and receive the direction of the arrow and the gift that God gives through Jesus, then what becomes most worthwhile is not a whole lot of new things that you have to do, like now you need to read your Bible and pray every day and give 10% of your income to the church and maybe play in the band and all that kind of stuff. No. Paul says, what is of surpassing worth, what is of the ultimate value, is knowing Christ. Knowing Jesus. And knowing the depth of his love for you and what God has done for you through him. Now, this word knowing is not just head stuff. This is the word that the Bible consistently uses for intimacy, for people becoming close friends, for people looking into each other's soul and recognizing the worth and the value of what is there. Knowing Christ, Paul says, is the thing that is of ultimate worth. He says, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, scubala, dung, so that I could know Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, Paul says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Intimacy with Jesus is the most important thing. Not our work for God as Christians. That comes out of an overflow of knowing Christ. It's when we know Jesus that our lives are reconfigured around what God has done for us. Now, let's just think about that a little bit more deeply. In your own life, with your friends, maybe with your family, what ways do we have of getting to know a person? Not just know about them. Like, I could know that my wife is this high and, you know, that she weighs a certain amount, which I'm probably not allowed to say, and all that kind of thing, but that's knowing about her. It's not knowing her. So what are some of the ways, and genuine question, please interact, what are some of the ways that we get to know another human being? Sylph?
Actually being around them.
Okay. Now, some of these answers are a bit tricky in terms of Jesus because he's not physically, well, is he or isn't he physically here with us? So spend time with, yep. Yep, what else?
Friends.
Talk, converse, communicate. How important is that in, whoops, that's terrible. in our relationships with people. How else do we get to know someone? Yes. Do stuff. Even I would say have fun. Yep. Any other?
Go through unpleasant things.
Ooh, if you really want to get to know someone, go through unpleasant things. So does that mean go through difficulty together or actually share some of your unpleasant stuff with them? Right.
You could also go through their mobile.
Right, that's knowing about them. I don't reckon that's knowing them. Yep.
That's
stalking.
Yeah, you could find out what other people think.
Okay. When we do...
find opinion.
What do others think? Yeah. Now, we look at this and we go, yeah, that's all cool for a physical person, but what about Jesus? Like, he's not right here with us, is he? Well, actually, he promised that he would be. Jesus said, I will be with you always. And the way that he does that is through the Holy Spirit. And we can be intimate with Christ because he's a real person who's alive, who speaks through his word and through his church and through his people, and who we can talk to, that's called prayer. We get to know through what others think of him through, for instance, his biographies in the Bible, the Gospels. We get to know each other by going through hard things together, both difficult circumstances, but also confession and finding out when you confess to Jesus that he goes, you know what, I already know you. I know you. I know what you've done more deeply than you do. And I love you no matter what. No matter what you've done. I know it, and I still love you, and you're still valuable and precious to me. Have fun with Jesus. That's an interesting one. I went for a bit of a walk today, a prayer walk. I was praying as I walked, that's what I mean. And I was going, okay, Jesus, it's a lovely day. If you have any kind of sign or symbol for me, not that I'm expecting, you know, neon writing in the sky or anything like that, but just being open to what might Jesus be leading me to today. And I saw this sign on the back of a ute, believe it or not. It said this. It said, love where you live. And it was a Metricon Homes, I think, sign on the back of a ute. And I went, now, you know, if that's not Jesus talking to me as I pray and walk around Lakeside, then I don't know what is. Love where you live, you know. Love the people around you. Be local. Be present here. Be part of what Jesus is doing here. Sylv?
Could it be spend time with other people who know him?
Yep, and I think this is important. God wants to speak to us today in a real and personal way. Through as we meditate on his word, as we spend time in prayer, it's not going to be sign writing, but God is going to give us hints and impressions and things of his love. Spend time with him and spend time with his people. So Paul says ultimate worth is in knowing Jesus. Why? Because he knows you. He has looked into your soul. He has taken your sins and the things that are not right on himself to make them right. He has made you right with God by bringing God down to your level and gifting you with the presence and the love and the forgiveness of God. And Christian life flows from knowing Jesus. So Paul finishes our text today in this way. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, all that stuff that we had here, the ways we try and make ourselves right with God, and pressing on to what lies before, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize which God through Christ Jesus is calling me. The essence of the Christian life and the most valuable thing is knowing Jesus. He knows you. He wants you to know him, not just know about him. And that ultimately is what defines our rightness and the way that we engage in the rightness that God is bringing to the world around us. May you know Christ and the power of his love and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. May all of us know him deeply. Amen.